episode number 1520 of the Too Lazy to Register an Account podcast. Thanks for joining us. I'm your host, Rhonda Romero. How is everyone doing? We're talking today about Genghis Khan's Guide to Lake Excellence. We have no sponsors today, so let's get right to it. Pax Mongolica Scenario Information Game The Age of Kings Campaign Generations Khan Mongols Civilization Orange Color Scenario No. Genghis Khan was the founder and the first great Khan of the Mongol Empire, which became the largest contiguous empire in history upon his death. The year 1206, when Temujin, the son of Yezhuray, was elected Genghis Khan by the Federation of Tribes at the bank of the river Onon, should be considered as the start of the Mongol Empire. Prior to the year 1206, Genghis Khan was only one among tribal leaders fighting for supremacy over the steppe regions to the south and southeast of Lake Baikal. His victories against the Karait, then Naiman Turks, nevertheless, gave him undisputed authority over all of present-day Mongolia. As a result, by 1206, Genghis Khan had succeeded in bringing together, or subduing, three of the Naimans, the Karait, under his dominion. In 1218, the expanding Mongol Empire under Genghis Khan came in direct contact with the Islamic world for the first time, particularly with the Central Asian Kingdom of Khwarezm, covering most of modern-day Uzbekistan and Turkmenistan, and parts of Iran and Afghanistan. The Mongol forces, led by Genghis Khan, his generals, and sons, crossed the Tian Shan Mountains, entering areas controlled by Khwarezmia. Genghis left Mukali, one of Genghis' most trusted generals, to lead all the Mongolian forces into Jin China as he battled Khwarezmia's empire in the west. Genghis Khan allowed his generals to make decisions for themselves as they went about the campaigns away from the capital of the Mongol Empire, Karakoram. In the secret history of the Mongols, shortly before Genghis Khan invaded the Khwarezmid Empire, Chagatai declared before his father and brothers that Chagatai would never accept Genghis' older son, Hochi, as his father's successor. The idea of a celestial mandate to dominate the world was surely present in Genghis Khan's mind, as well as the minds of several of Genghis Khan's successors, but such ideological imperialism had no basis in nomadic societies in general. Initially, though, Genghis Khan's stated goal was to create a reciprocally beneficial trading relationship between two empires. This book is a tale of his travels, of the people that Tim Cope meets and the obstacles that he faces, as well as a story of Genghis Khan and his descendants, and of their astonishing exploits, riding across the Eurasian steppes, conquering everything that came in their path, and ruling by surprising means. Overall, if Genghis is your neighbor, and there is nobody else for him to target, then it is highly probable that you will become his target. He will be bullying city-states, and this forces you either to make the diplomatic blow to him or lose the 20 cloud you hold over city-state. Comp CS War 448355565733338 Other information. Genghis is a straight shooter, he is unlikely to deceive, and will probably remain so if he is friendly with you. Since CS War is not that helpful and could cause problems, Genghis' true strengths are Keshik and Khan, who are both amazing. Their big replacements for generals are great too, and they are plentiful as you take over whole continents with the Keshik, so you will have a lot to stand around multiple locations and assist with healing units, as well as having surplus for using citadels. Combat is silly easy with Keshik, and a handful can take a town down, especially once you have got a Khan. Warring too early, though, slows your acquisition of Keshik, and this is when to really blossom as a warmonger while playing Genghis. Yet, in Mongolia, Genghis was able to bring together all of the tribes into one monolithic state, whereas nothing even remotely happened in what was about to become North America. During the time of the Mongol Empire, no Europeans were present in North American flatlands, any more than the Mongol steppes had a widespread presence of Europeans. The Sioux, the Cheyenne, the Blackfeet, the Pawnee, and so forth, shared with the Mongol Empire virtually the same nomadic cultural framework. Raids from nomadic peoples from the steppes always occurred occasionally, wherever strong nomadic tribes lived within proximity to settled populations, but these generally did not assume the dimensions of an overtures to global hegemony or dominance that did during Genghis Khan's invasions. The Mongolian military machine marching into Khwarezm was fundamentally different from that which had been forging the young
Mongolian Temujin less than 20 years earlier, during his journeys into becoming Genghis Khan. Predictably, the first town that attracted the Mongols was Otrar, where the governor whose actions had triggered the war was still commanding. In a last-ditch effort to avert the war, Genghis sent three emissaries, one Muslim, and two Mongolians, to Shah al-Din Muhammad's court, asking for the governor's surrender and for the punishments that would fit. For instance, Mongols frequently refer to themselves as Genghis Khan's Mongolia, themselves as Genghis Khan's children, and Genghis as the father of the Mongols, particularly among younger generations.
This is all for today, friends. My name is Rhonda and this was episode 1520 of the Too Lazy to Register an Account podcast. See ya next time.